Sketches by Boz by Charles Dickens. Adapted for radio by Stephen Wyatt. Today's story, Mr. Watkins Tottle.
Marriage is proverbially a serious undertaking. Like an overweening predilection for brandy and water, it is a misfortune into which a man easily falls and from which he finds it remarkably difficult to extricate himself. Now, Mr. Watkins Tottle, the hero of our story, was a rather uncommon compound of strong uxorious inclinations and an unparalleled degree of anticonubial timidity. Mr. Tottle was about 50 years old and stood 4 feet 6 inches in his socks. He lived on an annuity which was rather well adapted to the individual who received it in one respect. It was rather small. Mr. Watkins Tottle had long lived in a state of single blessedness, but the idea of matrimony had never ceased to haunt him. Regularly he pictured on the empty chair on the opposite of the fireplace in his small parlour in Cecil Street
a beautiful young lady with a very little independence or will of her own, but a very large independence under a will of her father's. Oh, bliss. Oh, who's there?
It's me, Gabriel Parsons. Tottle, my dear fellow, how are you?
Delighted to see you, of course. To what do I owe the pleasure?
Mr. Gabriel Parsons was a rich sugar baker who mistook rudeness for honesty and abrupt bluntness for an open and candid manner. Mr. Tottle had the misfortune of owing him money.
Tottle, you know my way. Offhand, open, say what I mean what I say, damn reserve and can't bear affectation.
Indeed.
Mr. Tottle trembled at what might be coming. A request for repayment, perhaps, or a wish to partake of Mr. Tottle's dwindling supply of brandy.
Well, I'll come straight to the point, Tottle. There's no use humming and hawing about the matter.
None at all.
So, listen carefully to what I'm going to say.
Of course.
You want to get married, don't you?
Well, I suppose I should certainly... Well, I imagine... At least I think I should like it.
Won't do, Tottle. Be plain and free, or there's an end to the matter. Now, do you want money?
Oh, you know I do.
You admire the sex?
I do.
So, no shilly-shallying. You'd like to be married?
Yes, certainly.
Good, then you shall be.
But...
No, there's an end to it.
I wonder if it's possible for you to be more explanatory. Really, as the party principally interested, I cannot consent to be disposed of in this way.
Very well, I'll tell you. I know a lady. She's stopping with my wife now, who is just the thing for you.
But...
No, listen. She's well-educated, talks French, plays the piano, knows a great deal about flowers and shells and all that sort of thing.
But...
And she has 500 a year, with an uncontrolled power of disposing of it by her last will and testament.
Then I will pay my addresses to her. She isn't very young, is she?
No, not very. Fanny and I said at once that she was regularly cut out for you.
Oh, I'm flattered.
There's only one thing I don't understand.
Oh?
I can't for the life and soul of me imagine how the deuce you'll ever manage to come together.
Oh.
The lady would certainly go into convulsions if the subject were mentioned. So that's something else you've got in common. Oh, don't look so sorry for yourself, Tottle. Come and dine with us the day after tomorrow, and we'll see what we can do for you.
The sun that rose on the next day but one had never beheld a sprucer personage on the outside of the Norwood stage than Mr. Watkins Tottle, nor a more nervous when he arrived at his destination, a cardboard-looking house with disguised chimneys and a lawn like a large sheet of green letter paper.
Ah, Tottle, there you are. I've just been playing cricket on the lawn with the Reverend Mr. Timpson here.
How do you do?
Pleased to meet you, sir.
Come in.
Thank you.
Look, why don't you both go in and talk to the ladies while I wash my hands?
Oh, yes.
Well, go on. You know how much I hate ceremony. Tell Fanny I'll be down in no time.
After you.
Oh, no, sir.
After you.
Sorry.
Why, Mr. Tottle, how delightful to see you again. And, of course, you, Mr. Timpson. How's your cricket?
Invigorating.
Miss Lillerton, my dear, this is our friend, Mr. Watkins Tottle. A very old acquaintance, I assure you.
I'm glad to make your acquaintance, Mr. Tottle. I've heard so much about you.
Oh, and I about you, Miss Lillerton.
She was a lady of very prim appearance, at whose age it was impossible to make any reasonable guess. Her complexion was as clear as that of a well-made wax doll, and her face as expressive. She was handsomely dressed and was winding up a gold watch for effect. Mr. Tottle was struck nearly dumb with admiration. She was his beau ideal of a desirable female.
Do please be seated, gentlemen.
Thank you. Mr. Parsons indicated he'd join us presently.
Oh, we don't have to wait on Gabriel now, do we? We can have a cosy little chat without any need of him, can't we?
Yes. Miss Lillerton.
Yes, Mr. Timpson.
I wondered if I could perhaps call upon you for some trifling donation to my soup, coals and blanket distribution society.
Oh, put my name down for 2 sovereigns, if you please.
Oh, you are truly charitable, madam.
No.
And we know that charity will cover a multitude of sins. Let me beg you to understand that I do not say this from the supposition that you have many sins which require palliation. Oh, believe me when I say that I have never met anyone who had fewer to atone for than Miss Lillerton.
You flatter me, Mr. Timpson.
Not at all. I do assure you.
Men generally discover a rival instinctively, and at that moment Mr. Watkins Tottle incurred the sin of wishing that the ashes of the Reverend Mr. Timpson were quietly deposited in the churchyard of his curacy, wherever it might be.
Are you still soliciting charity then, Timpson?
Why not?
Well, it's my private opinion that your distribution society is rather a humbug, blankets and all.
Gabriel, Mr. Timpson is a guest.
Oh, I am more than used to Mr. Parsons being so severe.
So, let it be said, so positively unjust.
Indeed. Very much indeed.
Mr. Tottle had not intended to intervene, but he found himself rushing to second Miss Lillerton. She looked up. Her eyes met his. She withdrew them in a sweet confusion. Watkins Tottle did the same. The confusion was mutual.
Well, I hold to my opinion. Why not give them a trifle of money, as I do, when I think they deserve it, and let them purchase what they think best?
Mr. Parsons...
Shall I tell you why? Because your subscribers wouldn't see their names flourishing in print on the church door. That's the reason.
Oh, really, Mr. Parsons... I hope you don't mean to insinuate that I wish to see my name in print on the church door.
Oh, I should hope not too, Miss Lillerton.
Another word, another glance. Mr. Tottle's heart started to beat with unaccustomed vigour.
Of course I don't mean anything of the sort, Miss Lillerton. Although I dare say you wouldn't mind seeing your name in writing, though, if it was in the church register, eh?
Register? I don't understand. What register?
Why... The Register of Marriages, to be sure.
Oh, I see.
Gabriel, my dear, the servants are just about to announce dinner. Mr. Tottle, would you be good enough to take Miss Lillerton in?
Oh, very willingly. Miss Lillerton.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Tottle.
Lead on, Tottle.
The room was very snug, the dinner very good, and the little party in tolerable spirits. Mr. Tottle sat next to Miss Lillerton, and having taken wine with her, began to acquire confidence rapidly.
Oh, not too much.
At length, the ladies retired, to the great gratification of Mr. Parsons, who had been coughing and frowning for half an hour previously.
Well, Tottle, what do you think of her?
Oh, she's an angel.
Indeed?
Oh, yes.
I dote on her with enthusiasm already.
Gentlemen, pray let us drink a toast to the ladies.
Most sensible thing you've said all evening, Timson.
Thank you. The ladies.
The ladies.
Yes. The ladies.
After further toasts, they joined the ladies. A rubber was proposed. They cut for partners. Mr. and Mrs. Parsons and Mr. Watkins Tottle and Miss Lillerton. Mr. Timson, being a clergyman, had conscientious scruples on the subject of card playing, and to Mr. Tottle's satisfaction sat apart, drinking brandy and water. At the end of the evening, Mr. Watkins Tottle was in high spirits.
My dear Parsons, thank you inestimably.
It went well.
Oh, yes, I think so. I feel I have some reason to be gratified by my reception by Miss Lillerton.
Oh, she likes you, no doubt of that. Now, this visit we're all making up to the Beulah Spa, the other side of Norwood, on Saturday. You're going to be able to join the party.
I'd not miss it for the world.
So you'll be down by the first coach on Saturday?
Certainly. Undoubtedly. And thank you once again. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Till Saturday.
But fortune had decreed that Mr. Watkins Tottle was not down by the first coach on Saturday. Instead, Mr. Parsons received a visit from a very different and distinctly seedy-looking gentleman carrying a note.
Good God.
Mr. Watkins Tottle had been suddenly arrested for £33.10 and 4p, and dated his communication from a lock-up house in the vicinity of Chancery Lane.
Tell the gentleman that I shall be there as soon as I can.
A plan was forming in Mr. Parsons' less than unselfish brain. He hastened to town and there located the place of Mr. Tottle's imprisonment with some difficulty. When Mr. Parsons finally entered the dismal room in which Mr. Tottle had taken up enforced residence, the prisoner looked up with a wooden expression of passive endurance, a sickly hue across his normally rosy complexion.
Well, here I am.
Indeed. And here you're likely to be.
Oh.
What's the amount with the costs so far added?
£37.03 and 10p.
Have you any money?
Oh, 9 and 6p.
Tottle?
Yes?
You owe me £50.
Oh, I do.
And from all I see, I infer that you're likely to go on owing it to me.
I fear I am.
Though, of course, you have every disposition to pay me if you could.
Of course.
Then listen, here's my proposition. You know my way of old. Accept it, yes or no, I will or I won't.
But I...
No, just listen. I'll pay the debts and costs, and I'll lend you £10 more, which, added to your annuity, will enable you to carry on the war pretty well.
My dear...
Now, let me finish. I'll do this if you'll give me your note of hand to pay me £150 within 6 months after you're married to Miss Lillerton.
My dear Parsons, how can I possibly
ensure... Now, stop a minute, Tottle. There's one condition. That is, you propose to Miss Lillerton at once.
At once? My dear Parsons, please consider.
No, it's for you to consider, not me. Notwithstanding all her maidenly modesty, I think she'd be devilish glad to get married out of hand with as little delay as possible.
But how can you possibly know it?
I know, because my wife has sounded her on the subject. And she has confessed
what?
That she...
What has she confessed?
Why, to say exactly what she's confessed will be rather difficult, because they only spoke in hints and so forth. But Fanny, who is no bad judge in these cases, declared to me that what she has confessed was as good as to say that she was... not insensible of your merits.
Ah.
In fact, that no other man should have her.
Oh, rapture.
Then you've made up your mind.
I have.
Then it's agreed.
It is.
Well, you'll have the opportunity to make the disclosure tonight.
Tonight?
Oh, yes. Once you're free of here, we'll go straight down to my house. And Tottle.
Yes?
Mind you speak out.
Oh, I will. I will.
Oh. How I should like to see you together. What fun. What fun.
And so it was that Mr. Watkins Tottle ventured further into the most adventurous and momentous day of his entire existence. He and Mr. Parsons drove down to Norwood together as soon as the debt and costs were paid, and Mr. Tottle was again on that side of the lock-up establishment most of its visitors prefer to be, to wit, the outside.
Well, here we are. And there's Fanny and your intended walking about on the lawn. Mind your eye, Tottle.
Never fear.
Oh, look, my dear. Here's Mr. Tottle at last. Oh, yes, so it is. How do you do, Mr. Tottle?
Do you see how glad she is to see you?
Well, I may be mistaken, but I fancy she looked a little disappointed. As if she would rather have seen somebody else.
Pooh, nonsense. It's always the way with women. Now, you'd better begin to pave the way.
Yes. Yes, I will. Presently.
Say something to her, man. Confound it. Pay her a compliment, can't you?
No. Not till after dinner.
Now, listen, Tottle.
Well, gentlemen, you really are very polite. First, you stay away the whole morning after promising to take us out to the spa.
Oh, yes.
And now, when you do come home, you stand whispering together and take no notice of us.
We were talking of the business, my dear, which detained us this morning. Weren't you, Tottle?
Yes, indeed.
Dear me, how very quickly the morning has gone.
I think it has passed very slowly.
That's right, bravo.
Indeed. And why do you think that?
I can only impute it to my unavoidable absence from your society, madam.
Oh.
And that of Mrs. Parsons.
I believe dinner is ready, Mr. Tottle. Miss Lillerton is one of us, and of course we make no stranger of you.
Oh, you're very kind, madam.
That we follow, my love. What the deuce did you stick Fanny into that last compliment for? It quite spoiled the effect.
Oh, it really would have been too broad without.
It's much too broad.
After dinner, Mr. Tottle again broached the subject which had now raised his anxiety almost to fever pitch.
I say, Parsons, don't you think it would be better if we were to put it off till tomorrow?
Don't you think it would have been much better if I had left you in that wretched hole I found you in this morning?
No, of course not. I only made a suggestion.
Don't worry. Fanny and I have concerted a plan to leave you and Miss Lillerton alone soon after we join the ladies for tea.
Oh, that's not for a while, then.
Not at all. I think we should join them right away.
What?
No time like the present.
Oh.
And so they joined the ladies. And soon tea was concluded.
God bless me.
What is it, Gabriel?
I do believe I've forgotten those confounded letters. Tottle, Miss Lillerton, I know you'll excuse me.
Yes, of course.
Mr. Parsons had hardly left when a manservant put his head round the door to say...
Please, ma'am, you're wanted.
Oh, thank you, John. If you'll excuse me, Mr. Tottle.
Yes, of
Miss
course.
Lillerton, of course.
Mr. Watkins Tottle was left alone with Miss Lillerton. Silence reigned.
I beg your pardon?
Eh?
I thought you spoke.
No.
Oh. Madam, that is Miss Lillerton. I wish to speak to you.
Speak? To me?
Yes, to you. And on the subject of your affections.
Oh, Mr. Tottle, I really think...
No, please. Please stay. Pray do not misunderstand me or suppose that... I am led to address you after so short an acquaintance by any feeling of my own merit. For merits, I have none which could give me a claim to your hand.
I
hope you will acquit me of any presumption when I explain that I have been acquainted through Mrs. Parsons with the state... That is, that Mrs. Parsons has told me... at least, well, it's not Mrs. Parsons, but... Well,
Am I to understand that Mrs. Parsons has acquainted you with my feeling, my affection, I mean, my respect, for an individual of the opposite sex?
She has.
Then what could induce you to seek such an interview as this? How can I promote your happiness, Mr. Tottle?
By allowing me to be your slave, your servant. In short, by unreservedly making me the confidant of your heart's feelings. Oh. May I say, for the promotion of your own happiness, may I say, in order that you may become the wife of a kind and affectionate husband.
Oh, you disinterested creature.
Then my information is correct.
It is.
Oh, joy.
Our situation, Mr. Tottle, is a most peculiar and delicate one.
It is.
Our acquaintance has been of so short duration.
Indeed. Only a week.
Oh, more than that.
Indeed.
More than a month. More than 2 months.
Not really, but... Oh, I see you mean by report. Oh, but my dear madam, pray consider. The longer this acquaintance has existed, the less reason is there for delay now.
Yes.
Why not at once fix a period for gratifying the hopes of your devoted admirer?
It has indeed been represented to me again and again that this is the course I ought to pursue, but pardon my feelings of delicacy. Mr. Tottle, I have peculiar ideas on the subject, and I'm quite sure that I never could summon fortitude enough to name the day to my future husband.
Then allow me to name it.
Oh, I should like to fix it myself, but I cannot do so without at once resorting to a third party.
A third party? But who?
Oh, Mr. Tottle, you have made me a most disinterested and kind offer. Will you at once be a bearer of a note from me to Mr. Timson?
Mr. Timson?
Yes, you know whom I mean. Mr. Timson, the clergyman.
Oh, of course. Yes, he's the clergyman. I'll take a note this moment.
Oh, then I'll prepare it immediately. The events of this day have flurried me so much that I shall not leave my room again this evening. I will send the note by a servant.
Oh, stay. Stay. When shall we meet again?
Oh, Mr. Tottle, when we are married, I can never see you too often or thank you too much.
Mr. Tottle flung himself into an armchair and indulged in the most delicious reveries of future bliss.
This inestimable female is mine, and with her £500 per annum, with an uncontrolled power of disposing of it by her last will and testament.
Well, have you done it?
Have I done it? I'm going to the clergyman.
No.
Yes.
You really have managed it very well.
Thank you. Tell me, where does Timson live?
His uncle's just around the lane. He's waiting for a living, and he's been assisting his uncle here for the last 2 or 3 months. My dear Tottle, how well you've done it. I never thought you would have carried it off so.
Oh, it's only a matter of setting one's mind to it, you know. Oh, but come, we wait only for Miss Lillerton's note to the clergyman. And once we have it, let's be off. Let's lose no time.
Indeed not, my dear Tottle.
Parsons, good to see you. And Mr. Tottle, how do you do?
Mr. Timson, I beg to deliver this note to you from Miss Lillerton.
From Miss Lillerton? Mr. Tottle, may I ask if our good friend Parsons here is acquainted with the object of your visit?
Our mutual friend is in my confidence.
Then, my dear Tottle, allow me in his presence to thank you most unfeignedly and cordially for the noble part you have acted in this affair. Oh, I deeply regret having misunderstood your intentions, my dear sir. There are very few men who would have acted as you have done.
I'm sure the fees will be very useful for you, sir. When is it to be?
On Thursday. On Thursday morning at 8:30.
Oh, well, that's uncommon early. I shall hardly be able to get down here by that hour.
Oh, very good, Tom.
Well, never mind, my dear fellow. So long as we see you to breakfast, you know.
Eh?
What did you say?
I said that so long as we see you to breakfast, we will excuse your being absent from the ceremony, though your presence at it would give us the utmost pleasure.
Timson, when you say us, whom exactly do you mean?
Why, Mrs. Timson that will be this day week, of course. Miss Lillerton, that is.
Oh.
Ignore that idiot over there, Timson, and tell me in three words the contents of that note.
This note is from Miss Lillerton, to whom I have been for the last 5 weeks regularly engaged. Her singular scruples have hitherto prevented my bringing the engagement to that termination which I so anxiously desire. She informs me in this note that this elderly gentleman, Mr. Tottle, has, in the most kind and delicate terms, offered to assist us in any way, and even undertook to convey this note, which contains the promise I have long sought in vain. An act of kindness for which I can never be sufficiently grateful.
Well, you're a clever fellow, aren't you, Tottle?
But I had no idea.
We looked like complete fools.
Well, I didn't know anything about it. How could I? You said, your wife said...
Let's leave Fanny out of this, shall we? Just remember, the next time you make an offer, you'd better speak plainly and not throw the chance away.
But, my dear Parsons...
And the next time you're locked up in a sponging house, just wait till I come and take you out. There's a good fellow.
But, Parsons...
Goodbye, Tottle.
Parsons, listen. How was I to know... How could I tell, Parsons? How was I to know?
A few weeks later, the body of a gentleman unknown was found in the Regent's Canal. In the trousers' pockets were 4 shillings and 3d/2d, a matrimonial advertisement from a lady which appeared to have been cut out of a Sunday newspaper, a toothpick, and a card case, which it is confidently believed would have led to the identification of the unfortunate gentleman, but for the circumstances of there being none but blank cards there. Shortly before this, Mr. Watkins Tottle had absented himself from his lodging. He has not been seen since.
In Mr. Watkins Tottle, David Collings played Mr. Watkins Tottle. John Hartley, Mr. Gabriel Parsons, and Jenny Howe, Mrs. Fanny Parsons. Patience Tomlinson was Miss Lillerton, and Christopher Scott, Reverend Mr. Timson. Nicholas Farrell was the voice of Boz. Sketches by Boz was adapted by Stephen Wyatt and directed by Sally Evans.